This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's a Joy Law podcast from Jack and Dean on Joy.
This is the segment where we give advice to the LGBTI community about legal issues. And so today, contracts, it's a very accessible topic.
I think we don't realise that we actually enter through our lives. I'm like, I'm not a business person. I don't know anything about contracts. But everyday life, we enter in little contracts. There's sneaky things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you think about just sort of this morning, basically, probably woke up in an apartment or house, which you either, you know, rent according to a rental contract, or you may have lucky enough to buy it, in which case you had a sort of contract with the person you bought it off and a contract with your bank to pay for the damn thing. You then check Instagram on your phone. You've probably got your phone on a contract as well.
I'm prepaid, Paul.
Well, there we go. Well, you bought your phone from somebody under a contract, though, originally, to then get a prepaid.
My sister worked at an office, and she goes, if you give $200 to this charity, you get a phone.
Well, there you go. Anyway. You just ruined my entire thing about anecdotes.
Get out of here. No, please continue.
Then you sort of drive your car, ride your bike into work. You bought that. Or you catch public transport. That's a ticket. That's part of a contract.
Yes.
You then come into work. You've got an employment contract with your employer. You go downstairs for a coffee. You into a contract with a person for a cup of coffee.
Oh my God, the law is everywhere.
It is, and that's exactly right.
Yeah, such a trail.
Exactly. So this is lawyers putting the scares in everyone. No, but I mean, they affect pretty much everything you do. Almost any interaction other than sort of friends or family, it's probably got a contract at its heart, and I think they're not particularly well understood by a lot of people. So that's why I thought I'd sort of, you know, give a very rough rundown on the sort of elements of a contract, and then maybe some sort of misconceptions or some questions people often ask about the type of things.
So when you strip it back down to its bare bones, how do you define a contract?
So a contract is a legally binding agreement between two or more people. And I could end it there, to be perfectly honest. That's the heart of it. That's fundamentally what it is. Exactly right. So, that's the heart of it. It's an agreement. Without an agreement, you can't have a contract. It's legally binding. If you can't enforce it, then there's nothing to it, in a sense. And I'll come back to that as far as what it is. It's effectively a gift in those instances. And there has to be more than one party to it. But that's really what a contract is.
And it doesn't have to be written down, does it?
Correct. Yeah, no. A lot of the old joke about a verbal contract's not worth the paper it's written on is actually not true.
That's a zinger.
Exactly. Precisely. Samuel Goldwyn, I think. They're better if they're written, because, you know, everyone's clear of what actually entailed, but there's no requirement other than some exceptions for land, and because of the law, every exception has an exception as well. But generally speaking, no, it doesn't have to be written down, which a lot of people think it is. They said, oh, well, I never wrote to Dan, how can you, you know, that can't be forced against me. No, if you reach an agreement, if you've got all the elements, then you're on the hook, basically.
And how does a pinky swear come into that?
Well, that's the most solemn of all promises, obviously. that's a step above blood brothers.
Let's get in there. Oh, I'm laying them out. You're knocking them down. This is great.
Exactly.
Sorry, please.
No, by all means. So, I mean, I won't get into too much detail, because I don't want to completely tank your ratings, but there's some elements you need for a contract. I'll go through them very quickly, so I won't bore you all. But basically, there needs to be an offer, which is somebody, as the name suggests, offering to do something, whether it's to sell something, whether it's to buy something, whether it's to provide a service. Doesn't particularly matter. But there needs to be an offer on the table. And then there's acceptance. Someone has to accept it. And they have to actually tell the person accepting. You can't mentally go, oh, I'll take that, thanks, and then try and hold the person to it. You actually have to tell them. And that can be verbal. It can be things like clicking online. Someone has a thing online for sale. You click, I want to buy it. That's actually your offer. They accept it when they accept your purchase and send it to you. So that's the sort of elements that come through. And then there needs to be an intention that it is actually a legal contract. And this is, this distinguishes sort of family and friends agreements with commercial stuff. So, you know, an agreement with a mate to drive him somewhere and he might give you $20 of petrol money, that's probably not a contract, depending on how tight you are with your mates. But generally speaking, that's not intention that sort of be legally binding. But that needs to be in there as well. And there needs to be consideration, and that's a legal term. Basically means there needs to be an exchange of value. I'm giving you something, you're giving me something. And that can be not much. It can be what's known as a peppercorn, which means like a rent. Some places, charities often get rent for peppercorn, which is a dollar. So there is an exchange of value, because there has to be an exchange.
Yeah, I've seen that around.
Yeah, you'll see that. So that's why this is why it's in there. It seems a bit odd. You know, you might be renting a building, quite a good one, for a charity, and the lease will say that the rent is a dollar.
Yeah, I got paid a dollar for an interview the other day.
Yeah, Yeah, there we go.
No joke. Yeah, for a film film students documentary. And so
that was probably wages, knowing the film industry, unfortunately. That wasn't
okay. So I signed a contract, and technically I'm a paid actor.
Exactly. get your union ticket off to the States. But so that's why that's in there, is to show there's actually exchange of value. Because if that isn't in there, it's a gift. So if I offer something to you and you're not giving me anything in return, all I'm doing is giving you a gift, and you can't hold me to that if I don't go through with it.
Have you brought in any gifts for me, Paul?
Other than my presents.
He's got a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. So.
You don't have a dollar? We're speaking to Paul about contracts.
Fascinating stuff it is too. So, I was just going through the various aspects. The next one, legal capacity. So the person in the contracts has to have the capacity to do it. So, they have to be of sound mind and body in the old terms. But things like, young children can't enter into binding contract, or somebody with a mental impairment might have an issue as well. So
is there an age where you become, sound allowed?
Mind?
Yeah.
Technically, the Age of Majority Act, I think 18 is set. Yeah. It's actually an old style act type thing. There are some grey areas in there type thing. I mean, you do have younger people entering into contracts. They can get jobs and stuff like that, which is obviously a form of employment contracts.
That's true, when you're 14 and 9 months.
That's the one.
There you go.
Getting your dollar for your interview type thing. Yeah. So it's all, get them in there young. So
I always suspected that the contracts that my parents tried to put me to for, housework and all those things just weren't worth a thing. I should have fought it harder.
Oh, yeah, the chores.
Yes.
Did you have it on the fridge?
It was posted on every signpost around. They were trying as hard as they could to hold me to it.
Are you an obedient boy?
I'm a good boy now.
Avoided the question there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you make a contract with your parents?
Well, so, I mean, I should go back to my earlier point that when I say that, the intention to create legal relations is less likely among family, it doesn't mean you can't, and in many cases you definitely should. It's more that it needs to be clear that the intent was to have a legally binding thing. So all the time people have, people buy houses with their relatives, or, an elderly parent might agree to move back in with their children. In those cases, we actually recommend there is a legal document, just so everyone knows where they stand, because oftentimes it's done on a, love and affection basis. And when
love
and affection
job.
Disappears, things can get very ugly very quickly. So it's not that you can't have a binding contract between families, it's just that when you're looking at it, courts will assume that it's less likely that you intended to enter into contract with your brother versus a random person you're buying something off. That's all I meant by that.
It's all in the Facebook group chat for my family. It's like, you're looking after the kids? No, we are. Ugh.
Or evidence, as we call that, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. That's because you can
save
use that.
Save all those receipts.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
incriminating evidence of looking at your Facebook page, but that's beside the point.
Don't look at mine. It's rude. We have had a text in on 0427JOY949 about contracts with KHQ lawyers, and it is Brad. Brad has said, talking about agreements with families and friends, but he goes, marriage is also a contract, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's a form of contract. It's a very special type. It's got its own act with its own requirements and things like that. And also the Family Law Act covers difficulties in that contract. As a matter of historical sort of reference, engagement used to be a contract. When people got engaged, if they ever broke it off, the lady used to be able to sue for breach of promise, because this being the Dark Ages, her value, in inverted commas, had been diminished by the breaking off of the engagement. So she could actually sue for breach of promise and things like that.
Good old Dark Ages.
Exactly.
How much, roughly?
Well, it depends.
Two donkeys.
I'd have so many donkeys racked up by now.
Lots of hoop skirts and things like that, one imagines. So.
That's what's wrong with me. I haven't got enough hoop skirts. So, no comment. Keep going.
That's all right. You go on. Sorry, please.
I guess the final part of the questions is, what happens when you break a contract? Do you sue someone straight away? Like, how do you resolve a broken contract?
Speaking as a litigation lawyer, hopefully, but speaking as a more reasonable approach, it depends. It depends on the nature of the contract and the terms of the breach. I mean, if you've got something very serious, if you're looking to buy a house and it's someone's breaching and things like that, then, things have got serious very quick. Well, that's a point, exactly. That's extraditional.
That's how all my contracts have ended.
Should never have bought that racehorse anyway. But it depends how serious it is. I mean, and there are quite a lot of resources out there which sure fall short of having to go to a lawyer. So particularly as a consumer, there's a lot of resources as far as fair trading or consumer affairs, the ACCC. If it's a residential or retail tenancy, there are government bodies that can assist in things like that. So it depends on the circumstances. Rarely people shouldn't go straight to just suing because it's expensive and ugly and things like that. So, but the ultimate result, if someone breaches a contract, ultimately, if you've suffered damage in the legal sense, then you've got legal rights to pursue that, basically. So,
What about with voiding contracts? So there's one of these things that is thrown around, probably is completely meaningless, that if a clause within a contract convenes law and there isn't a clause that says unless otherwise
can be
superseded by law, does that void the entire contract?
Not necessarily, no. It depends on what it is. Again, there's lots of sort of rules of thumb that get sort of promulgated around there that don't go that way.
So nitpicking over grammar and spelling in a contract.
No, it's the whole... Yeah, I mean, there's sort of famous examples where the sort of misplaced comma costs someone $1 squillion and that gets repeated down through the ages, but they're... And they do exist. I mean, when you get down to it, they sometimes do exist, and all lawyers sort of...
It's the difference between helping your Uncle Jack off a horse and your Uncle Jack off a horse.
Exactly right, so
grammar's important, kids.
Exactly.
Annie just got that. She's 25. All right, so that was fun.
And the final two elements, so consent, obviously the parties entering into the contract, they had to mean to, in a sense. No mistake, they didn't sort of sign something thinking it was something else. Example, someone signs a guarantee for their son's loan, turns out they actually signed the loan themselves, for example, or misrepresentation when someone lies to them about what the actual contract's about. Or there's duress, having your arm twisted, literally or figuratively, or undue influence, which we see in things like elder abuse. Elderly parents being signed up for things they shouldn't have because the overbearing son does it or things like that. And then the final element is the contract has to be for a legal purpose. So if you've signed a hitman up to have someone whacked and he refuses to go through with it, you can't sue him for breach of contract because the contract itself is for a legal purpose.
That law.
So, well, it's just one of those pesky, those damn technicalities get you every time. So.
Fantastic. Right. Well, and who should we contact if you do have concerns about contract breaches?
Well, as I said, so if it's, we're KHQ, obviously proud sponsors of Joy FM, and we do this area of law in many places. But as I said, if it's a consumer type one, there are consumer resources. If it's a leasing dispute, there are retail leasing assistance as well, stuff like that. So it depends on the nature of it. It's a commercial one, we can certainly help. But yeah, there are lots of very good resources there for consumers that don't cost them an arm and a leg like lawyers sometimes do. So
beautiful. Well, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
KHQ Lawyers.
Joy Law.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.